Please be seated. Speak in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
At the beginning of Mark's Gospel, we hear the words, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This one line leads us, the reader, into the secret of the whole book. Can we spoil it right at the beginning? We are also privy to the voices from heaven and the declarations from the demons, both of which declare Jesus' true identity as the Messiah and Son of God. However, it's very easy to forget that the disciples did not get the insight given to them at the beginning of their journey with Jesus, nor did they hear the words from heaven or the declarations of the demons. They had to work it out for themselves. Mark's Gospel, up to this point in our reading this morning, repeatedly emphasises the disciples' ignorance and lack of understanding. We read of the disciples mistaking Jesus for a ghost in chapter 6, and in chapter 4 asking, "Who is this?" For us, Jesus' identity is never in doubt. However, there is a void between our understanding and the understanding of the disciples. And this void is used by the author of Mark's Gospel to create irony and build tension throughout the book. This tension comes to a head in this chapter, where the question of who is Jesus is asked directly towards the disciples. First, who do people say that I am? And secondly, who do you say that I am? The disciples answer the first question by looking back at John the Baptist's arrest and beheading in chapter 6, which of course starts with him hearing, asking, "Who is this Jesus that I have been hearing about?" This looking back at John's ministry, which ends, of course, in suffering and death, is a foretaste of Jesus' suffering and death. This theme is then followed on in the second half of our Gospel reading. However, we're not quite at that part around suffering, as first we hear Peter's answer to Jesus' question. And this is where the reader's knowledge of Jesus and the disciples collide. We read that Peter knows that Jesus is the Messiah. But just as we think he's got a grasp of the truth, then we can take a big breath and think that we understand the same identity, Peter once again does not fully understand what the meaning of the title Messiah is, and what Jesus' role is to be. We see this lack of understanding because after Jesus had started teaching about how the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be killed, Peter takes him aside and rebukes him. Just want to pause on that moment and think about that. Here is Jesus, who Peter has just called the Messiah, being told off by him. Thinking about that, Peter is telling God what God should be like. And I wonder how many times we do that in our own lives. How many times do we put God in a box and say, "This is who you are, what you are, and where you will be." Maybe just like Peter, we need to be reminded that God is infinitely bigger than our understanding or our ability to understand, and that we, like the disciples, are only able to grasp a small amount of who God is. Jesus then goes on to teach that the Messiah will suffer and die, but that on the third day he will rise again. The Messiah will give his life for the world, so that we all may find freedom in our faith in God. This, of course, is very countercultural at the time, where all other gods were powerful beings that would probably never suffer or die for their humans. However, Jesus does not suffer because suffering is good, but because of the way he lives. Jesus' life is totally different than the expectations placed on him as the Messiah. He threatens the social and religious order of the world. He meets with tax collectors, the poor, sick, Gentiles, and those that would be seen as unclean. Jesus suffers because of the way of God does not match with human dominion. We are challenged by Jesus to deny our own human identity, our own human individual autonomy, and to give our lives fully to God, even to the point of taking up a cross. In this, Jesus tells us that we must lose our life to save it. We must put aside our wants, judgments, and individual freedoms to do as we wish, and let our God be our identity and set our expectations. A number of years ago, I was in a Bible study, and we had been discussing how in New Zealand culture it might feel uncomfortable talking about your faith. And while we were talking about this, one of the people in the group pointed out that we had nothing to feel fear in New Zealand when we talked about our faith. Now, she was Eastern Orthodox and had come from a country where she had seen churches bombed and had had friends killed because they were Christian. She challenged us to truly let Christ be our identity and to get over the small discomfort that comes because of it. Because those discomforts were nothing compared to what other Christians faced across the world. Our identity, as she challenged us, must be in Christ. It must come from us letting go of ourselves to live in him. What we find in this gospel reading is an argument about identity and expectations. The disciples hold one understanding of Jesus' identity as the Messiah, and they hold expectations because of this understanding. However, as we see throughout the Gospels, their understanding of that identity and expectation does not match what God has planned. This issue of identity and expectation is not just an issue for the disciples or the early church to whom Mark is writing for, but for us as well. We as modern people might think that we have come to a greater understanding of God and what the true meaning of the Messiah is. But I would argue that we haven't. Just like the disciples, it's easy for us to believe that Jesus is the light of the world and to confess him as the Messiah. But the question comes, how do we misunderstand what that title Messiah means? And how do we not allow our expectations to align with God's? So I'd like to encourage you this coming week to spend some time in pondering those two questions. How do we misunderstand what the title Messiah means? And how do our expectations not align with God's?